The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
It's time for The Last Word on Health, and Stella O'Malley, psychotherapist and author, joins us now to discuss body image. This is on the back of a very interesting new study, Stella, that has been published on just that, body image. One of the more interesting findings, as I was combing through it, was that people are happier with their bodies after the age of 60, both men and women. Why is that?
It's fascinating, really, because we're certainly not at our prettiest after 60, and yet we're at our happiest with our bodies. It seems that we seem to learn acceptance as we go through life. It's a little bit tragic that when we're at our most beautiful, like the women who are kind of aged between 19 and 24, are most unhappy with the way they look. But that seems to be an impact of, one, our age, that we learn self-acceptance as we get older, which is a beautiful thing. It seems a bit bittersweet because we also learn how to be happy as we get older. So around about 60 is the sweet spot because we're also happier, and we're happier with our body. We're happier with everything. We've kind of learned perspective. Mm-hmm. We've learned wisdom. But sadly, when we're very young and very good looking, and if you look back in your photos, if you're 46 like I am, and you look back and you remember how self-critical you were in your teenage years, and yet you are your 20s more likely, you were at your most beautiful. It's really sad that we don't learn to appreciate ourselves until it is
a case of this long journey to acceptance, that in our 60s we're maybe a little bit more accepting of our bodies and we're kinder to ourselves as well. You know, as you mentioned, it's not a case of we suddenly think that we're gorgeous entering into the twilight of our lives, but it's that we've accepted what we have.
Yeah, we've learned to work with what we have. We've learned the wisdom of there's no point in fretting about what we don't have. There's no point in self-criticizing. And it's much more appropriate to just move on with whatever you've been given and make the best of it and not fret on it. You also learn to put things into context as you get older. You learn perspective. You learn mm-hmm. to kind of realize, yeah, you know, whatever I've got is going to have to be good enough, because, you know, trying to push back the sea is pointless and it just leads to unhappiness.
And there are other aspects in your life that are, you would imagine, more important, like, you know, family, retirement, things like that.
Oh, true, because friendships definitely, they take, you know, they're very important in our 20s, but they gather richness when we're in our 50s and 60s. We kind of, age somewhere around our 40s or so, we get rid of the friends that we don't need, if you follow me, and the friends we have and we cultivate, these are really good friends. So we develop very high quality relationships as well. You know, we really learn the knack of living way too late, by the way, like it takes us 60 years. Yeah. And it makes me, when I read these studies, and it's just such a fascinating study, it makes me realize as a psychotherapist, the time gives us a lot of mellowness. It really makes sense of things, and we can hurry it, and we can kind of not hurry it, but we can learn perspective for the deeper pain with psychotherapy. But the longer view of time and age really brings an awful lot of wisdom.
And wisdom is the most beautiful thing of all, in my opinion. I was really looking forward to talking to you about this, Stella, because I wonder, has lockdown changed our behaviours in terms of body image? And the reason I'm asking you that is that we spend more time than ever looking at ourselves. I'm talking about Zoom calls and things like that, be it for work or just for keeping connected to friends and family. Have people become more conscious of body image because of that?
Without a doubt, it's been very notable for me as a psychotherapist that in my clinical work, there's been a real rise in eating disorders and in kind of concern about different parts of the body. And that would be very much, I would argue, like you're saying, impacted by the amount of times we've been on Zoom. I've never been such an expert on my face. I didn't even barely know my face until a year and a half ago. And now I know. I figured out my eyebrows are lopsided. I figured out lots of things I didn't know about my face. And it just proves the point. Looking at yourself just leads to criticism of yourself. And the younger people from the younger generation, let's say those who are 20, they have been brought up in that digital social media world of Instagram and Snapchat. And that has really impacted, that extraordinary impact of social media on our looks has really, really impacted young people in a quite a negative way. We look gorgeous, by the way. We've never been as gorgeous as this generation, but we've become very harsh and very, very critical of ourselves at the same time.
It's funny. It reminds me of my brother-in-law. He's very talented at turning like old archive video footage, digitizing it. And we were looking at some footage recently. And it's funny to look back on, we were looking at some scenes from Galway from back in the 1960s and the 1970s. And it was funny watching the young lads running around the place, and they all looked a bit wild and a bit battered. And if you were to look at teenagers nowadays, particularly on things like social media, they all look so polished, don't they?
They really do. It's such a good point. If you were to look at the average 15-year-old in rural Ireland in 1970, 1980, 1990, go through the years, you will see a serious upturn, in, as in we are making ourselves look much nicer looking. We're much more polished. It's unbelievable. Like, most kids really look really well. Mm-hmm. While when I was a kid, there was two or three kids in the year who were stunning. Everybody else was just grand.
Yeah.
And now it's the vast majority of them are stunning. That comes from a lot of focus and a lot of work. It's not as if they're just naturally, if they were just looking like a 1970 kid, all they have to do is do nothing and they would look rough around the edges. So while it's perfectly pleasant to look nice and make the best of what you have and all the tips and all that, it does seem to come at a very sharp cost, which is an awful lot of self-criticism, an awful lot of vanity, an awful lot of kind of vacuous focusing on the brand as opposed to the substance. So we're losing a lot. We're gaining an awful lot of style and we're losing an awful lot of substance. And I think we really need to start watching this because it's definitely happening.
And did this study differentiate between men and women? And if so, what did it find in relation to men and their outlook when it comes to their own body image?
It's interesting. Men aren't as self-critical. Men are fond of themselves. Men aren't as self-critical as women, by and large, in a generalized sense, according to this study. However, they are critical, and very like the women, they tend to become more comfortable and end up at their happiest with their body image around about 60, just like the women. Just like the men and the women, we both have a kind of a dip as we age. And so for men, it's in their 40s, and for women, it's in their late 30s. There's a dip in our kind of satisfaction because we're confronting aging, and that's a difficulty. But it's notable that men aren't as distressed by their body image as women. And it's notable that the prettiest of women, which I would say is their early 20s, are the least happy with their body of all the groups.
And it's important to point out as well, and I think, you know, it is included in the study, that looks have no correlation with happiness as well, because just because you might look great across your social media platforms doesn't mean you're happy.
It really doesn't. It's so dangerous because an awful lot of kids are buying into the idea that if you look good, you feel good, and you know what I mean? Looking great and therefore you're great. And they're seeking out an awful lot of kind of compliments and followers and shares and likes. And yet it doesn't have a correlation in their happiness. And so all this emphasis on looks, while it's pleasant to the eye, it doesn't seem to bring about satisfaction or depth or contentment or wisdom. It doesn't bring very much except a very nice kind of scenario on the eyes.
It's a very interesting study. It's a very interesting and worthwhile discussion. We're actually doing a panel discussion a little later in the show with three amazing young people, Zoomers or Gen Zs, as we call them. And it's something that I might put to them because I suppose for the younger generation, they've grown up with social media. They've grown up with every aspect of their life being documented in some shape or form. But what would you say are the red flags in terms of your own attitude towards yourself? And when you hear your inner voice having this negative outlook on things like your appearance, what can you do in those situations to help?
Yeah, there's one big thing. It's your harsh inner voice. If people could be just, if they could speak to themselves like they'd speak to their dog or their best friend, just that soft, compassionate way of speaking to somebody you love, you will realize how different it is. How you speak to your best friend, how do you speak to, you know, a child, or how do you speak to your mother, and then how you speak to yourself. And generally there's a gulf, and that gulf is where the psychological distress happens. And I find an awful lot of the time in my clinical work, people who are in deep distress have a very harsh inner voice. Mm. And if you could soften that voice, if you could bring some self-compassion into the situation, you'll be a much happier person. By the way, I bet you those kids you meet, the Zoomers, I bet you, whatever they're called, I bet you they're all gorgeous. And I bet you they have an awful lot of attention and work to be gorgeous. And I really do think that the effort needs to kind of stop, and we need to learn a little bit more psychological kind of acceptance around our look.
And it all comes down to self-confidence, doesn't it? Like, you do need to have self-confidence is the most attractive quality of all. And if you have that, you're beautiful on the inside and outside, as corny as it sounds, it does ring true. And one of the real dangers, we are almost out of time, Stella, but I want to ask you really quickly about some very distressing figures in relation to eating disorders. We have seen a rise in the numbers during the pandemic.
Yeah, there has been a rise, and I've noticed it in my clinical work. An awful lot of people were eating too little because they had too little on their mind, and they relapsed into old kind of traits and patterns of behavior that really hurt them. And other people overate for the same reason. They had too little time and too much tension, too much anxiety, too little to do, too little to focus on. It was a very unhealthy combination. And there's an extraordinary rise. There's been more admissions to hospital now already this year than in the entire year.
Yeah.
2 years ago. So it's phenomenal rise has happened.
Very distressing figures. And it probably is worth just giving out the number for the helpline, Stella, if anyone has been affected by what you and I have been discussing here today or is worried about a potential eating disorder. You can contact Bodywise, a support line, on 01 2107 906. Stella O'Malley, thank you very much for that.